The Bible says, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, my first sign, the first sign of my strength, excelling in honor, excelling in power. However, here is the conjunction. Turbulent as the waters, you will no longer excel. For you went up onto my father, your father's bed, onto my couch, and defiled it. Then we look now to Deuteronomy 33 and verse 6, which is where I'm going to speak from. And the word of God says, this is Moses talking. And Moses says, let Reuben live and not die, nor his people be few. Father, bless this word to our hearts now, we pray, in the name of Jesus. I want you to look towards someone. Don't touch them. Look towards someone, and I want you to repeat the subject today. Just in case there are those that are judging you based on how you look. Just in case there are those that think that you are all that wonderful as you have pretended to be, I want you to look at them and tell them, favored, but flawed. Oh, come on, talk to somebody else. Tell them, I'm favored, but flawed. I want you to stick with me for a few minutes this morning. Favored, but flawed. Amidst the dazzling radiance, the elegance, the opulence, expert gemologist gives us to know that beyond the resplendent beauty and magnificence, nearly every single piece of diamond has within it some microscopic particle that is scientifically classified as inclusion. Now, according to the study of gemology, inclusions are small, diminutive imperfections within the diamond that are created due to the extreme pressure and heat that diamonds experience while they are being formed and developed. As a consequence, virtually all diamonds contain little tiny black spots. In fact, I've been told that perfectly flawless diamonds are so rare that most jewelers will never see one in their lifetime. The reality is, as exquisite and precious as diamonds are, these remarkable gems, brothers and sisters, are not impervious or insusceptible to certain endemic flaws. Without a doubt, diamonds are luxurious objects of opulence, value, and grandeur. But despite their ornate beauty, they are neither spotless, stainless, or untarnished. An exceptionally unique commodity, an object of rare beauty and value, albeit in some way or the other, brothers and sisters, diamonds are all susceptible to some inherent defects. But parenthetically, I find this parallelistic reality quite comparable to the very nature of the human family. Allow me to say here that regardless of our status or a station in life, each of us is just one big compilation of imperfection, an amalgamation of faults and flaws, a compendium of blemishes and complexities, a vast, multifarious fusion of strengths and weaknesses, yes, of extraordinary abilities and gross inadequacies. From the best of us to the worst of us, all of us at best, hallelujah, all of us at best are a complex composite of admirable ideals and undesirable misdeeds. We are one unique amalgam, a mixture of both positives and negatives that somehow constitutes our unique identity. In other words, you cannot appreciate my gifts and abilities without the inclusion of my vulnerabilities. Otherwise, you paint a bogus, picture-perfect portrait of falsehood. Mm-hmm. Why? Because none of us has yet obtained the gold star medallion of infallibility and perfection. Quite the contrary, all of us are floppy, faulty, flaky, and flawed. Yes, and though not applaudable, may I say here that our flaws are a testament of our humanity. Yes, yes, yes. Without our flaws, we might as well have wings like angels. Watch here, because only the angels of God can boast of a spotless, stainless, flawless existence. Am I right about it, somebody? If you think about it, if you think that I've earned the right to stand here this morning because of an impeccable, unimpeachable resume, then perhaps you've never, scanned the pages of God's holy word. I want to read it for you. The reality is, brothers, we are all perfectly flawed. Did you hear me, somebody? We are all perfectly flawed and fabulously incomplete. In fact, if you think about it, the only thing perfect about us speaks to the fact that we are perfectly imperfect. And in fact, there is no theological motif echoed more louder than the biblical narrators, hallelujah to God, in the scripture that talks about the sinlessness of man and the graciousness of God. Hallelujah. You got to understand that between this duality, between this parallel, is where grace comes in. It's where we come in. Are you hearing me, somebody? It is Christ that comes in to bridge the gap between my past and my future. It is Christ that comes in with grace to bridge the gap between my weakness and my flaws, hallelujah, and the favor that I carry on my life. Somebody's better say amen. There is no one, hallelujah to God, that can attest to the fact, hallelujah to God, that he walks, amen, in a perfect robe of distinction. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah, somebody. And in fact, there is, this is where in scripture we find 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 46, as he laid this theological foundation by saying that there is no one, hallelujah, who does not sin. Did you hear me, somebody? There is no one that does not sin. Then we read Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. He pushes it a little farther to say that surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sin. I don't know if that's you, hallelujah to God, but I know that the scripture speaks succinctly of me. 1 John 1 and verse 8 simply concretized this reality by saying, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The Apostle Paul was well aware of his obvious imperfections when he argued in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 and declare, he says, I'm not speaking as if I have already obtained, oh my God, or have already become perfect, but I press towards, come on somebody, he says, I press on to possess that perfection for which
is Christ Jesus first possess me. Come on, hear somebody. It matters not what images you project beneath your dazzling display of human virtue and nobility. Lies the indubitable reality that all of us emanate from a flawed origin. I don't care, hallelujah to God, what side of town you grew up. I don't care, hallelujah to God, about your pedigree. I'm telling you that we were taken out of a flawed place. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Somebody lift your voice and shout hallelujah. I don't care how precise, how perfect, how proper, how puritanical, distinguished or dignified, hallelujah, you claim to be. You may try to hide it, disguise it, conceal it, or deny it, but the reality proves that at some point, oh my God, in fact, at our highest level of esteem and grandeur, all of us are stained, all of us are tainted and defiled by some undesirable element of infamy and imperfection. Preach, Holy Ghost, preach. To put it bluntly, all I'm saying is that all of us have dirt on us. Did you hear me, somebody? You gotta wait a few more weeks for me to preach that. But look at your neighbor and tell him all of us have dirt on us, regardless who we are. All of us have dirt on us. Yes, our lives are a composite of victories and defeat, of incredible acts of success and regrettable moments of failure and prominence. Oh my God, of decadence. And in all of this complex paradoxical duality, there lies immeasurable potentials and possibilities. Come on, somebody, waiting to be transposed, to be transformed and developed into a classic portrait of admiration and distinction. When Xavier was here a few minutes ago, if he didn't tell you about his past, you could not appreciate what he's doing right now. Come on, somebody. It is my past. It is my blemishes. It is my weakness. It is my flaws. Hallelujah. That allows me, once I step into the light of Jesus, hallelujah, to seem so impressive to my friends and neighbor. I feel God up in here. Our lives, my brothers and sisters, are composites of victories and defeat, of incredible acts of success and regrettable moments of failures. Come with me, you and I. Nonetheless, we are priceless treasures in worthless vessels. Oh my God, I said we are priceless treasures in worthless vessels. He had to allow me to have the experiences that I have. He had to allow me, hallelujah, to experience, hallelujah, my humanity, in order for me to appreciate the power of divinity in my life. Somebody, you had better talk to me. I feel you up in here, Jesus. I said all of us are priceless treasures in worthless vessels. And in case you think that I've lost my mind, this is exactly what 2 Corinthians 4 and the verse 7, hallelujah, alludes to. He says, we have sought this treasure where? In earthen vessel. Come, hallelujah, go ahead, hallelujah, stigmatize me, reduce me, criticize me, degrade and denounce me to whatever you want to label me, but the scripture scripture tells me that we are treasures. Come on, somebody, in fragile jars of clay, say yes. In other words, what he's saying to us, Debbie, is that we are treasures in a crack pot. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I don't care how you pretty it up. I don't care how you describe it. I don't care if you call it a ranch or a colonial or a condo. It's a crackpot. You can't be so celebrating what you're in, hallelujah to God, and ignore what's in you. Say amen, somebody. Say amen, somebody. It's not the house that makes me, it's me that makes the house. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. With all of your intelligentsia, you're still housing. Your housing is a crackpot. Somebody talk to me. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Oh my God. Somebody talk to me. Somebody talk to me. Why? And God made it so that the excellency of the power, hallelujah, may be of God and not of us. Come on, somebody. Had to put me in a crackpot, hallelujah. Otherwise, I would think that I'm all that. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. He put me there for me to realize that I'm not it. Come on, somebody. And that the pot don't make me, that the vessel don't make me. I don't care whether you're white, light, or brown, brown or black. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. You're still a crackpot without Jesus Christ in your life. Y'all better say amen, for I lose my mind up in church this morning. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Regardless who you see, how you see it, I'm God's hidden treasure. I said I'm God's hidden treasure. I may be a little messed up. Come on, somebody. I may look messy, but I'm God's treasure, concealed in a broken vessel. Don't judge the value of the product because of the vessel. That's it. It's it. Somebody say yes. When you go to the store to buy a box of milk, come on, somebody. If on your way the bag falls, hallelujah, and the container becomes cracked, come on, somebody. If it looks rugged, that's what it looks like, but that's not what it is. I didn't go to buy a box. I went to buy milk, and the milk within the box is still good. Come on, somebody. Tell somebody. Tell them it may not look good, but it's all good. Say yes. Say yes. Stop listening to the negative parapsychologists. Stop listening to those folks who are always trying to put you down, and begin to listen to the small voice that's on the inside. Somebody shout, I'm a treasure concealed in broken vessel.
Be careful, because people like to evaluate you by the, how do I say this, not by their cognitive ability, but by the illusion of the eye. Are you hearing me, somebody? People have long-term memory on your failure. But they can walk through the door 5 seconds after the sermon and forgot the goodness of God, hallelujah, about you. Somebody say amen. This is precisely why you cannot allow your flaws to hijack your future nor sabotage your destiny. You've got to understand that, hallelujah, that like the magnificent diamond, we are all flawed creatures. No matter how impressive, no matter how prestigious, no matter how polished, prolific, or refined we may appear to be, deeply rooted and entrenched within our very DNA are the irrefutable marks of fallibility and imperfection. Is anybody trying to listen to me? And yet the antithetical reality here clearly states that despite the obvious faults and flaws, all of us have within us the intrinsic ability to become a paragon of greatness. You know, a beacon of hope to those who have been terrorized and traumatized by a chronic shortcoming that left them trapped in the doldrum of despair, in the disfiguring psychosis of brokenness, of despair and delusion. Hear me when I tell you, you got to give yourself a break. Come on here. For the most part, most of us, our problem is us. It ain't about what people say about you. It's about what you think of your. I wish I had a real church here. What you think about yourself. Truth is, we are all flawed creatures. And nowhere is this more evident than in the man who Leah called Reuben. I like Reuben. I don't know if you've ever read about Reuben, but if you've ever read about the 12 tribes of Israel, you got to read about Reuben, because Reuben is at the top of the list. God, I feel you're here someplace. Hallelujah. Now listen, Reuben is what some would call an enigma. You know, a paradoxical mystery. If you don't know his history, you can't figure him out. Because in one sense, he was what you could call a trick baby. A trick baby, because although his conception was legitimate, come with me now, he was not the intentional offspring Jacob dreamt of. What you talking about, Bishop? Well, Reuben is the product of duplicity and deceit. Come with me. You know what I'm talking about. Because truth of the matter is, by the devil's design, Reuben was not supposed to be here. You got to understand that he's a trick baby because he came out of the mind of a trickster. You're not hearing me. Okay. Watch this. It's the night of the wedding, y'all. The man done worked for the woman for 7 years. Hard labor. Come on, somebody. And naturally, there is excitement and hilarity in the air. There is jubilation. He cannot wait to go home, amen, and to open up the package. Yes, Lord, yes. And I want to tell you that excitement would do something to the psyche. I don't understand how it is. Now, I've been there where this woman knocked me out until I feel like somehow I'm mentally challenged. Are you hearing me? Don't look at me like that. I'm sorry if you're not a wife like that or you've not had a wife like that. But yeah, there are times when she knocks me off my feet. And one of those times is the first night. Come on and talk to me some. I'm talking to a real church this morning. It's the first night. You know, first time things are exciting. First time things can have your blood running and racing. You can understand that Jacob's heart was going bippity bop, bippity bop, bippity bop. Hallelujah to God. He couldn't wait to hit the spot. But when he got there, instead of Rachel, he found out that it was cockeyed Leah. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. And listen to me. He was so excited that he didn't even have time to look in her eyes. It was after
winter, he enjoyed the cookie, that he woke up in the morning, because you see, how he stick around, but he doesn't have that ability. Men don't have that ability. It'll put you to sleep. Lord, help Jesus. Help me, Lord, to behave myself. It'll put you to sleep. So he was so anesthetized. That's not the word. He was let's use that for now. That it put him straight to sleep, and he slept all night long. Hallelujah to God. Not knowing that he slept with the wrong woman. Not knowing that he cut a covenant with the wrong woman. Lo and behold, he got up in the morning, and instead of the beautiful Rachel, it was Leah. It was Leah. She didn't look right. Oh, come on and say amen, somebody. And so here it is now. He is married to the wrong woman because he was deceived by Reuben and ended up with the wrong man. But that's how God meant it to be, because Reuben would have never come into existence if it had not been for a trick by Laban. You know, God can bring beauty. Come on, somebody. God can bring treasure out of a trick. I don't care how, hallelujah to God, you came into this world. I don't care how. I don't care if both of them were drunk. I don't care if both of them were high. I don't care if they were thinking about you or thinking about you the next time. But the fact that I'm here meant that God meant for me to be here. Somebody lift your hands and give God praise. Yes, yes. Yes, you got to see it now. You got to see it. But that's what's wonderful about Reuben. I'm going to talk about the good before I talk about the bad, because there are some people that's always labeling you by the bad stuff. You see? It's critical, however, to understand that as the firstborn, that's how come Reuben came into being. So he became, though it was not the desire of Jacob, because it's Rachel that he wanted. Come on, somebody. If it had been Rachel, Reuben wouldn't have been here. No, but it was Leah. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I said it was Leah. Hallelujah to God. And so here comes Reuben. You got to see this now. I feel something here. Reuben was what you would call, you call him a trick baby. Reuben was a privileged child. Are you with me, somebody? Reuben was a privileged child. He was no ordinary replica of a man. Quite the contrary. Reuben landed into eminence and prominence and entitlement from his very birth. Divine providence had him predestinated to be the choice recipient, the favored beneficiary of the family's inheritance, as well as the designated future leader of the 12 tribes of Israel. Uchal Reuben, being his daddy's firstborn, by God's design, Reuben was preordained to be on top, to be above, to go beyond all his, amen, his contemporaries or his counterparts. In fact, Reuben was positioned to break barriers and soar into heights unknown even to those of renown. Word on the street was that Reuben's future was, etched in stone and paved in gold. Somebody say amen. Ain't no doubt about it. Reuben had it made in the shade. Ironically, however, because of an egregious character flaw on his deathbed, Jacob, his father, revoked, the benefits and the privileges of the birthright, which incidentally, adversely altered the trajectory of Reuben's life and his future. Mastered by an unbridled passion, a lawless proclivity, a seducing, wavering spirit of instability, Reuben, watch this, forfeited his birthright, and instead of a life distinguished by perpetual blessings and unmerited favor, Reuben ended up with a generational curse that left both he and his descendants bound to a life of instability, insecurity, and unproductivity.
Oh God. May God deliver us from our flaws. Come on, somebody. May God break the powers of our flaws. Don't go around talking about, I've got one. They talk about, I'm too flawed to be flashy, as if that's something for you to be proud of. Are you hearing me, somebody? No, I don't brag and boast about my flaws. I put them on the altar, and God knows I try to keep them there, because the minute, oh God, you blink an eye, and it sting you like a bee. Oh, come on and say amen, somebody. Some of you been stung last week, so don't look at me funny. Glory be to God. I feel God in here. Reuben, my God, ended up with a curse instead of a blessing. You may not have noticed, but let's talk here for a little bit. I find it amazing, Anne-Marie, that the most gifted, promising, prominent perspective among us are usually haunted by the most disturbing, troublesome challenges and encounters in life. God have mercy. Mother Johnson, they may not tell you, but in the middle of the night, oh, what terror. Oh, what terror that comes upon the mind. What am I talking about? I'm talking about gifted people. Devil ain't bothering some folk because you ain't got nothing to offer. But if God has deposited something on the inside that can touch a generation and change lives, the devil's coming at you. Are you hearing me, somebody? Is anybody going to help me here? You may not have noticed it, brothers and sisters, but gifted people are troubled people. Seems to me that the most favorable, the most promising, the more promising you are, is the more calamity and adversity bombards your path. Highly gifted people, deep thinkers, critical thinkers, are sometimes the most flawed individuals that you'll ever find. Brilliant, I mean exceptional, emerging leaders, innovative, critical thinkers, those that exhibit rare talents and abilities, those destined for greatness, are quite often the most flawed, the most shady, with the most shady character in the room. Somebody better talk to me. And before you start to condemn yourself, and before you get ready to commit suicide because of what you're guilty of, hallelujah, you ought to look to Christ, because what I hear him saying, that they're like a diamond, they might be a little muck and a little grime and a little amen blemish that's on you, but it doesn't change the diamond in you. Oh, come on and say amen, somebody. You ought to tap yourself on the shoulder and celebrate your own value. Oh, come on and say yes. Come with me. Gifted people, they enter the room and right away you sense the presence of rarity, of oddity, you know, peculiarity, eccentricity, and exceptionality. They open up their mouth, and instantly you are enraptured. I mean, hypnotized and mesmerized by sheer admiration. But as you get a little closer, you begin to notice, hallelujah, vivid impressions of imperfections. Oh, God help me here. The closer you get, the more evidence begins to emerge that paints a shady picture of a troubled past. And you ask yourself, but how can this thing be? Problem is that most of us don't try to be real, and that's why people are so critical of us. We put on makeup and mascara. We try to hide the flaws. Men don't have that luxury, but women can put all kinds of painting on the face. I saw a woman on TV last night. Myrna and I were getting ready to go to bed. And what was it, Myrna? What was you watching on a Sunday night? A man that been up for 16 hours and get upstairs to get a shower and to lay down in peace and harmony, She got Family Feud on her mind. I don't know if it was Family Feud or Steve Harvey, but one of them had her up. And watch it. And we had, and there was a family up there, a beautiful family. And looked like the youngest daughter of the man. She had so much painting on her face. She looked like it was a painted mosaic on the wall. Every color, she had it on her face. Looked like a mascot, can I tell you? And yet it was a beautiful girl. But somehow, she might have been hiding some pimples on the face. But when you take off all of that makeup, hallelujah to God, underneath, you begin to see the flaws. Come on, somebody. But I'm more than my flaws, because I'm not just what meets the eye. Come on, somebody. My beauty, my power, my value is what's on inside of me. God, I feel, would you hang out with me for a little bit longer? Hallelujah, so we can preach this. How can this thing be? How can they be so gifted and yet so twisted? Well, then, hallelujah, lean back and let me tell you, hallelujah, whether in the world of entertainment, on the stage of performance, in the halls of politics, or in the arena of academics, or in the prayer room where mortal man initiates dialogue with the immortal. If truth be told, we would all have to admit that gifted people are troubled people, and the secret behind all of this complexity lies in the simple fact that gifted people, hallelujah, attracts attacks. They didn't hear me. I said gifted people attract attacks. So before you start getting on Reuben, Reuben was messed up. Reuben had a flaw, hallelujah, that held him back, because the enemy saw the treasure inside of him and came after him. I want to tell you this morning that if you are gifted, you have been targeted by the enemy. I want to tell you this morning that if God has a plan for you, then the devil has a trap for you. I want to tell somebody today that if God's got you on your mind today, on his mind today, that the devil is scheming and plotting on how to stop you, hallelujah, in halfway before you get to your destiny. But I need somebody to jump up on your feet and shout, it's because I'm gifted. Oh, come on, somebody. You're not terrible. You're not a terrible person. It's not where you were born or who you came from. It's because you are gifted. Oh, come on and say amen, somebody. Come on and say amen, somebody. Lift your hands and swing it in the air, because that's the secret of your problems. It's because I'm gifted. Lord, have mercy. Let's go there. In case you haven't noticed, gifted people are always incubated by something trying to destroy them from within. And I think I know why. I've discovered that whenever flowers begin to bloom, Michelle, that's when bees come around. Did you hear me, somebody? Whenever the flowers begin to blossom, that's when the bees comes around. Why? Notice that the flower gains no attraction until it begins to exfoliate, to bloom and blossom. As long as it remains normal, natural, ordinary, and common, it gets no notice. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. As long as it remains the way, hallelujah to God, it always is, it gains no attraction. Lord, have mercy. Come with me here, somebody. Hallelujah to God. I've discovered that, baby. Notice that the flower, it gains no attraction until it begins to experience expansion. But now once its illustrious beauty begins to emerge, it begins to attract all types of unwanted attentions. Come on, somebody. You got to watch those that
that only embrace you when they discover what's in you. Because if you don't know who you are and what you are worth, you'll open up to all types of lawless propositions. Come on, somebody, that tease and stroke your ego and your emotion, but leaves you feeling empty, leave you feeling dry, useless, worthless, and unwanted. Come on, somebody, you gotta watch when you get into your expansion season. Come on, somebody, when you begin to get a little attention. Come on, somebody, because that's when the devil comes in and try to break your focus and concentration. Y'all ain't helping me to preach, but I'm going there by myself like a blooming flower. Gifted people carry a natural aromatic magnetism. They carry a magnetic energy that draws attention, and you've got to be cognizant of the fact that unlike humans, bees are not drawn to a blooming flower because they look cute or because they look pretty. A woman likes pretty flowers, but bees are not drawn to the flower because it's cute or pretty. They are not interested in its beauty. Bees are only attracted to the flower that blooms and blossoms because of its sweet nectar that is inside, that is stored up on the inside. Nectar, come with me. I want to tell somebody that the reason for the constant attacks in your life, the reason for the emotional harassment, the reason for the oppressive temptations that haunt you, the reason for the struggles in the flesh is because of what you are carrying on the inside. Somebody talk to me. Somebody talk to me. The reason for the buzzing, the reason you've been stung so many times is because they see the nectar inside of you. It's because you're carrying substance of value on the inside. That's why some's got to end up in prison. Come on, somebody, at a young age, because the devil knows if I allow Xavier, hallelujah, to go to Bible school at 18 years old, he'll not only be a dangerous theologian, he will be, hallelujah, one of the worldwide evangelists that wins his generation to God. Come on, somebody, you're not taken from a bad place, and you're not a bad person because you're guilty of bad things. It's because of what God has buried in you. Somebody say yeah. Yes, yes, yes. I feel like pushing it a little farther. Stay with me a little longer. It's been a struggle for you because you've got treasure deep within. And while what's in within you provokes admiration and affirmation, there are those dream stealers and vision killers who only come for the purpose of not admiration, but extraction. That is to rob the treasure God has implanted in you. You got to protect the gift that is in you. Are you hearing me, somebody? You got to protect the anointing that's in you. You got to protect the greatness that is in you. Oh my God, lift your hands and shout glory to God. Touch. No, no, no. Look at somebody and tell them protect it. You got treasure, honey, protect it. You got to protect it from those buzzers. You got to protect it from those that come into your life only to lead you astray, only to destroy your virtue and value. Somebody shout, I got something to protect. Help me, Lord Jesus. They don't like you, but they cannot deny the fact that you have something on the inside they simply cannot live without. Help me, Jesus. The enemy wouldn't be attacking you if he didn't recognize something, some considerable assets inside of you. Thieves don't break into a house, hallelujah, into an empty house. You got treasure on the inside. Did you hear me? Thieves don't break in to an empty house, for there's nothing to walk away with. There's nothing to gain, but you got treasure on the inside. If you've been burglarized, come on somebody. If your heart has been broken, if you've been a victim of theft, come on, if you've been a victim of emotional fraud, that's because somebody recognized your property, recognized your value, and they have come to raid your body, to raid your mind, and to leave you high and dry. But in the name of Jesus, I got to protect this. I got to protect my heart. It belongs to God. I got to protect my mind. I got too much cerebral power inside of me. Somebody say yeah.
Do me a favor, you got to protect your young boys and your young girls. You can't leave them up to virtual reality. You cannot allow social media to dictate their future or to paralyze their hopes. You got treasure in your house to protect. Don't allow every brute to come into your house and trust them over your children. We got messed up women and men in the world that didn't have to go to the streets to get messed up. Are you hearing me, somebody? But some buzzard came inside that house, stole mother's foolish, stupid heart. Watch this. And she paid for pleasure with her children's innocence. And even when the child said, Mama, something happened last night. What happened to you, baby? You know, Daddy touched me. Now, if the child said, Daddy touched me, the child knows a good touch from a bad touch. If that brute got his hands up under your six-year-old daughter's legs, and she said, Daddy touched me. Say, where did he touch you? And she tells you, prison. 911, no investigation. Otherwise, we wouldn't have so many messed up women today and messed up men that's been molested right in their house. The flower doesn't go looking for trouble. Are you hearing me, somebody? Trouble comes and finds the flower. And some of you acting like you need to put a fence around your garden. You need to put a fence around your house. Some of you acting like you don't have treasure in your house. And you cannot, you've got to have the kind of perspicacity to discern those molesters before they even enter your gate. Are you hearing me, somebody? Look at him. Look at him. You're not married to him or married to him. Look at him, how he looks at your girl or how he looks at your boy. Because I don't know if you've been here long enough, you can tell lust when you see it. I've ran from women that came to this church because when they came to me for counsel, I knew they didn't want my counsel. I saw lust burning in their eyes. And because I am susceptible to flaw, Miron, meeting done, I'll explain it to those of you later on. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? Don't be sitting there and smiling with your flaws and while it teases. No, run, run, run. Paul says, flee. You got, I'm out of here. Tell somebody, run. Some of you right now dating something you need to run from. Okay, I know. For some of you, your first time coming back, you didn't come here for this. That's why you stayed away for 3 months. You don't want pastor messing with your stuff. You shouldn't have come. It's been a struggle for you because you've got treasure deep on the inside, and while what's within you, hallelujah to God, provokes admiration for others, they're coming, my God, for extraction. They're coming to reduce you. They don't like you, my God in heaven, but they knows what's inside of you. Somebody shout, I got something to protect. If you are a carrier of something substantive on the inside, talk to me, Lorraine. Hallelujah. You might as well know that there's bound to be some serious challenges. If God has placed the nectar of unparalleled greatness and giftedness in you, hallelujah, honey, the enemy's coming after you. Yes, yes, yes. He can spot you from afar and he's coming to wreck you. Are you hearing me, somebody? I'm just talking about the physical, the sensual. If you got treasure inside of you, if you got gifts inside of you, listen to me, the higher you rise, stay humble before God. Otherwise, pride is coming after you. Come on, somebody. Pride sneaks upon you after your best performance, after your best presentation, and say, see, there is no one like you. You're the cream of the crop. You're the creme de la creme. Come on, somebody. Oh, you're something special. And the minute you begin to digest that, the minute you begin to ingest that, the minute you begin to say to yourself, boy, you have arrived. Boy, you're something special. Boy, you're going to the top. That's when pride begins to laugh, because he's got a noose around your neck. Somebody talk to me. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and you shall be exalted. Exalt yourself and you shall be humbled. God, I feel you here. Let me preach. If you are a producer, if you are a trendsetter, if you are a game changer, they're coming after you. And make no doubt about it, sometimes you're going to find yourself with your head hanging down low in the gutters of shame and despair. But if you keep your eyes fastened on the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, come with me. If you keep pressing your way despite the bruise and blemishes, God will exalt you in due season. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. The devil, Quindell, the devil fights gifted people, because gifted people are uniquely equipped, endowed with the intellectual dexterity, the aptitude, and the fortitude to influence and to transform generations. Gifted people. This is why we have to cover our children in the blood of Jesus Christ, especially if they are gifted. Why? Because there are certain future wrecking forces that they struggle with. And it's only the prayers of faith that can break those chains that seek to keep them trapped in addictive practices and perversions. Listen, not just open your eyes, open your heart. keep the corridors of your heart clear so that your children can walk in at any time and say, Mama, have you ever? And if they say, Mama, when you were young, have you ever such and such? Be honest. Stop being hypocritical. Stop trying to act like you're the model husband and father, that you never had them kind of thoughts. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? It's shame and crazy, but, you know, scientifically, they say that nobody's born gay. Really? There are certain things that is spiritual. And there is such a thing called transference of spirits. And nowhere do we find damaged goods like in the womb. Greatness incubated in a place of defect, hurt, and pain. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you think on while you're pregnant, because it will inject and transfer and transfuse and transmute in the child you carrying. You better tell somebody, I'm carrying something. You're carrying greatness. You cannot be carrying greatness and then you smoke cigarettes 5, 6, 7 times a day. And then you expect to deliver a perfect baby. So much weed inside of you while you were carrying the child, or alcohol, and the child comes out with a natural taste for alcohol. I crave for it because it was transfused through oxygenated blood while the child was in the womb of the mother. Those thoughts has been embedded in your mind. You never played it out because you never had an opportunity, because that's what lust is. Lust for anything. It is desire without opportunity. And where desire is met with opportunity, then your deepest proclivities and weaknesses show up. Are you hearing me, somebody? So be careful. When you know that you're carrying, you're expecting, you got to be careful how you travel. You got to be careful how you lift things that you can't handle. Oh, somebody talk to me. You can't be racing down the stairs or jumping down the stairs when you're carrying, because you will hurt what you're carrying on the inside. I wish I could communicate this with a sense of profound wisdom here today. But listen, you got to be careful when you're carrying. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? The devil fights gifted people, because gifted people are uniquely designed. Are you hearing me, somebody? Why? Because there are certain future wrecking forces that comes to destroy what God has placed inside of you. And it is only prayer, hallelujah to God, that can break those. We are fighting things that sometimes we don't have the strength to fight. We didn't invite it. It simply came in. That's why you cannot destroy yourself or condemn yourself for the thoughts of your mind. You got to understand that you are the one that controls the key, and you can lock it out. You can block it out. You can drown it out. Hallelujah. By replacing it with the word of God, by watching something that is wholesome, by listening to something that is pure in your, so that what you're doing, you are renewing, you are recalibrating your mind. Sometimes we've got to retrain our mind not to think a certain way. Come on, somebody, talk to me. You don't think that we can do it? That's why people go to psychologists and pay them ton loads of money, Norman, to realign their mind. And they're thinking, because my power, true power, lies in the mind. If I can control it from the mind, it cannot control me.
Are you hearing me, somebody? You can't get me to take a puff of weed, though. I grew up in a house like that where daddy just liked it. Now, for some reason, God snatched me early before I had a chance to experiment. But for my other three brothers that didn't get that grace till this very day, some of them are still hooked on it. Are you hearing me, somebody? Now, my mind had been reconditioned so that what once smelled good when I was a child, for smelling it so much with my daddy smoking it outside, watch here, listen to me, somebody, now sickens me. What is that about? It's because my mind has been renewed. My mind has been realigned. And before you start to get down on yourself and before you start to hold on to shame until you can't even pray, you just need to tell God, just renew my mind. Oh God, do I have anybody in here? Do I have anybody out there today? Say, God, all I need for you to do is to renew my mind. I got to close this here. I got to run on and close this here to tell somebody, marked for greatness, like David and Samson. Reuben was earmarked to be Jacob's successor. Reuben was privileged and highly favored. Hallelujah to God. But his libidinous obsession drove him over the edge. Hallelujah. In order to ruin his future prospect, the enemy infiltrated his sensuality with a lewd, immoral spirit of debauchery and instability. And so, driven by this unclean, lascivious spirit, the devil used perversion, amen, to tamper with his passion in order to sabotage his destiny. Oh, help me, Jesus, help me. Glory be to God. I can't finish this today because I'm looking at the time right now, but I'm coming back next week, and I come to tell somebody that you got to be careful. Hallelujah to God. What you allow, hallelujah, what you allow to come in, because it'll take over. You got to be assured that whenever the bee comes, whatever nectar is in on the inside is taking it away with him. When he leaves, he's taking it with him. You got something to preserve. You got something to protect. You are of value in the eyes of Almighty God. There is a world that is waiting on you. I speak to every young man, every young woman that is either under the sound of my voice or is watching today, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy is going to come. She's going to try to sabotage your future. Surely the enemy is going to come because he wants you to abort your mission. But in the name of Jesus, I cover you today. I cover you with the blood of Jesus. I cover your heart. I cover your mind. You are a treasure. Glory to God. That's why the enemy is trying to kill you. And hear what the devil does. Debbie, sometimes he doesn't hire a hitman. Sometimes he strikes you in your mind and then allow you, hallelujah to God, with self-inflicted wounds, he allow you to kill yourself. He's after you because of your value. That is the reason why, Lord have mercy, I'll tell you next week, but that's the reason why the devil was after Moses. Hallelujah, somebody. You say, you such a dangerous Negro, until what Willie Lynch could not wipe out. Hallelujah to God. The enemy has sent Trump to destroy. Are you hearing me, somebody? Oh, don't talk to me. Look here, somebody. When you got a president, hallelujah, that steps on your neck constantly with his words, with his denial, with his silence, hallelujah to God, it is to trample you to death. But I want to tell somebody, you got to remind yourself that you've already survived the worst. Say amen, somebody. Say amen, somebody. Moses wasn't afraid of Pharaoh. Hallelujah. because he survived the executioners when he was a child, when he could not fight for himself. Oh God, have mercy. How many know that when you can't fight for yourself, that God will be your keeper while you are in the state of infancy, while you are in the early stage of your development? You don't have the wisdom, you don't have the strength. Sometimes you know what's wrong, sometimes you know what it is to be right or to do right. Hallelujah to God, but you fail. Paul says, the good that I want to do, I find it difficult, and the thing I don't want to do, that's the thing that is manifesting in me. But I come to tell somebody that God will keep you because of the purpose he's given you. God will, the Bible says, Michelle, that every person that is conceived in their mother's womb, that there is a book that God has written for your life. The book is the blueprint of your life. What you're supposed to do, what you are supposed to accomplish, whose lives you're supposed to impact and affect. Watch here, somebody. That is why when you pray in tongues, it's so powerful. When you begin to pray in unknown tongues, you are telling God to fulfill his purpose for your life that has been written in his book. Oh, come on and talk to me, somebody. God had a purpose for Moses' life. Hallelujah. Not just to save him, but there were millions of people. There were the future and the hope of millions were locked up on the inside of him. Somebody talk to me. I feel you. And so while Moses didn't know that, and while Pharaoh didn't know that, hallelujah, the devil possessed the mind of Pharaoh and sent him after Moses. You got to begin to praise God, not because of what is happening, but because of what you've survived. Somebody shout, I'm a survivor. I am a survivor, because hell came after you, hallelujah, with an army of demons, but you survived. Mo, how in the world can you say that? Well, don't you know that they came after Pharaoh sent him in armed guards, armed soldiers, hallelujah, with swords, with shields, with spears, hallelujah, to destroy a little infant baby. Come on, somebody. And yet he survived. It's in your infancy. It's when you haven't seen the dreams. It's when you can't even conceptualize what God has determined to do with you and to you and for you and in you and through you, that the enemy comes after you, because you've got to get a vision of who you are. Baby Moses, he couldn't talk. Baby Moses, he couldn't walk. But then the devil determined that he would have to die. Why? Because if we allow Moses to grow up, if we allow him to live, he's gonna rob our kingdom. I come to tell you that there is within me the power to rob the devil. Come on, somebody. That's why I've been called. That's why he tried to kill me when I was 2 years old. That's why I had to learn to walk and to crawl and walk again when I was 3 years old, because the enemy tried to kill me. You know why he tried to kill me? Because he saw this moment. You know why he tried to kill me? Because he saw me today. You know why he tried to kill me? Because he saw me tomorrow. Come on, somebody. Your enemies are looking at you yesterday, but God sees your tomorrow. So guess what you gotta do? You got to live. I said you got to live to get to tomorrow. Tell your neighbor, I'm not there yet. I command you, let Reuben live. Live, 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 live. Turn around and look at somebody and tell them, live! beyond all the adversities, beyond all the calamities, beyond all the indignities, beyond the abuse, beyond the trouble, beyond the reject. Oh, come on, the rejection. I command you to live. I command you to live. I command you to live. He used to sing the old song, I got to run on, see what the end's gonna be. Tell somebody, keep running. Tired, but keep running. No affirmation, but keep running. No encouragement, but keep running. No encouragement, no sense of hope, but keep on running. Because the race is not for the swift, nor the battle for the strong, but for those who endure to the end. Kill somebody. Run, run, run. Run, run, run. Run on, baby. Run on, baby. Run on, baby. It might be a bull rush. It might be a basket of dry weed, but there is treasure. I said there is treasure. Come on, my man, I see a little Lorraine, for the same reason that Pharaoh was trying to kill Moses, was the same reason that Pharaoh's daughter rescued Moses. It was because she saw treasure in a basket. Come on, somebody, stop cursing the basket. Hallelujah, praise God for the treasure. Shout, I'm a treasure, invaluable, I'm precious, and I'm priceless. Lift your hands, sick or no sick, disease or no disease, husband or no husband, I'm a treasure, I'm a treasure, I'm a treasure sent by God. Somebody lift your hands, give God the praise.
If I don't ever see you again, they say for me not to make an altar call. And I understand and appreciate the pragmatism. I understand the reasoning. But before we leave here today, I want some men to come with me, the few that's here. And I want to pray over your life. Because, brother, it's not only the civil rights mentality that I hear in you, but there is a deliverer in you. And God had to expose you to what it looks like. He had to show you what deliverance looked like. You know, when I think about deliverance, I've been thinking about it all morning long. When I think about deliverance, I think about you. How in the world do you survive 25 shots, hallelujah, that's pumped into a car, and you standing here today and you don't look like what you've been through, because you have been divinely preserved for such a time as this. God has raised you up to move mountains. God has raised you up to bring deliverance to this generation. There are teenagers that are out on the streets. Xavier, by the anointing of God, I say to you that you have been commissioned to walk the streets and to provide hope for young men and young women that don't have, hallelujah, within them the ability to see their greatness. God has opened your eyes so that you may open the eyes of the mentally blind. Oh my God, somebody shout, it's because of your purpose. Somebody shout, I'm gifted and that makes me a target. Shout hallelujah. Thank you. us to be on lockdown. God, allow us to understand the oppression of isolation, so that when things open back up, ministries should start to spring up all over the church. Listen to me. Stop waiting on pastor. Stop waiting on pastor to point you out and say, yeah. You sound good. Yes. You read that scripture so nicely. I think you should be a minister. Listen, all of us are ministers raised up and designated by God. And you need to move yourself from just being a congregant, from just being a churchgoer. And if all of us rise up in our unique ability, in our uniqueness. Hey man, I'm a preacher because I got a lot to say, and there's a special way that I like to say it. So if I don't write it, I won't be at my best. So I write it. But you have the ability to open your mouth. I don't know why. I feel like I just came to church just for you today. You have the ability to open up your mouth, and even if it doesn't spit out like fire, it is transformative. It is powerful. And every single day of your life, you should use it. God had, listen, delivered you from the yoke and the bondage of the prison system. Watch me, Xavier. Look at my eyes. Not for you to one day be ashamed, but to expose you to what people live with for a lifetime. Young men and young women who have been imprisoned by their own foolish decisions, by their internal struggles. Norman, you have the ability to be a minister in a place where none of us can. You have the ability to win the millionaires. For you have been gifted with oratorical and economic ability. So you can use the language of economics to teach theology to your friends and companions, to your clients. You can use the word investment to teach them that you don't just invest paper or money or invest in gold, but while you have enough sense to invest in that, you should invest in the future. Not just the future tomorrow limited, but future eternity. You can use it to tell people that your money is not the greatest possession that you have, that you have inherent value in you. All of you, gifted as you are, while you're working on someone's hair in that beauty shop, share with them how Jesus is able to beautify the meek with salvation. All of us, you and me, we are gifted, and we can change our community if all of us accept the responsibility. If you can't speak but you can sing, then sing. What you mean? Nobody gonna call you a fool. They're going down to New York City, see those people with their gifts. They're not trying to break into nobody's house and trying to rob anybody standing on the side of the road. I've seen men in New York City with two pieces of drumsticks beating a plastic bucket better than any other drummer that you've heard. And they have a little cup out there. And so I don't walk by and look at them like they're crazy or enjoy their music and walk by. No, I appreciate their gifts. So I'll not just put in a dollar or a couple of pennies. I put in 20. How about it? If they're able to do that down in New York City, how about you're a singer? How about you take a musician with you and once a week or once a month, you just go to a place where there are lots of people. And how about you just turn on a mic or a bullhorn, and how about you just begin to sing? It is the spirit behind with the gift that you have. You say, it doesn't need, Lady Williams, I gotta close. I'm closing. It doesn't need a large, colossal building in order to win millions. All of us must become soul winners. All of us must make the world a better place. And none of us should be hindered because of our flaws. Lorraine, there are times I would have never gotten up out of bed. Never mind come to this pulpit if I focus on my flaws. You must understand that while your pastor is no notorious, abominable, flesh-eating sinner, there are flaws. There are flaws like, you know, flaws like sometimes you can't control your temper. Flaws like some people can't control themselves. If something affects them, they got to blurt it out without even thinking about it. All of us got flaws. Yeah, your flaws is the last thing you cried about and asked God to take it away from you. But he preserves you like Moses in the bulrush. He preserves you with your flaws. Because while the devil's intent is to kill you, God's intent is to bring you to the palace to give you renown and prominence. In his name, bow your heads. Listen, if you are still watching me out there, I want to say to you this. I want to say to you this. Look in the mirror. Accept who you are. By looking beyond what you see with the natural eye. And may God open your eyes that you may see you the way that God sees you. Yes. You got God's DNA inside of you. Regardless of your experience, brothers and sisters, God has an incredible plan for your life. And that plan is to help somebody else. Hey, listen. Next week I'll come back to this and tell you the reason why, Lorraine, why Moses survived. And I'll connect Moses with Reuben. And you realize that the only hope that Reuben's tribe had was Moses. Somebody is getting up out of trouble because of you. Somebody is going to cancel the suicide attempt because of you. Not because you were there. You felt the sting of death and you wanted to end it. But look at you now. You're here today. You're still here. There's a great big bundle of graciousness and greatness on the inside of you. Don't you surrender to the lies they told you. You are fabulous and God is crazy.